Our New Testament lesson comes from Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. At that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they are worse sinners than all the other Galileans? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then Jesus told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and I still find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" The gardener replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, then you can cut it down." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Singer and songwriter David Lamont weaves faith through his songs and his storytelling. One of his older songs is entitled "Deadline," and it traces the relationship between a father and a daughter, beginning with the daughter's childhood, when her father is so busy with the deadlines at work, he's too busy to be at birthday parties and family events. And the daughter would come begging for a moment, a crumb of his time. It then traces the relationship as that daughter grows up to adulthood and she has become the mirror image of her father. So overwhelmed with work and responsibilities that she does not have time for her husband, for her child. And when she gets the call that her father has died, has deadlined, she tries to reorder her life to save her marriage and to stop the cycle. Throughout the song, David Lamont keeps coming back to the refrain, and the refrain is, "There's no time like the present, and there's no present like time." There's no time like the present, there's no present, there's no gift like time. This song has been on my mind as I've studied chapter 13 from Luke this week, because leading up to the lesson, all throughout the chapter 12, leading up to chapter 13, Jesus has been focusing on time. Jesus has been telling story after story after story about the urgency of time. Stories like the rich fool who kept building larger and larger barns to hoard all of his belongings, but dies unexpectedly one night. Stories like, "Don't worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will wear, for life is more than food and clothing. So spend your life on what matters." Stories like servants watching and waiting for their master to return after a banquet and being on alert and ready because they don't know what time the master will return. Stories like the unfaithful slave who has misused his time, misused his power when this master is away and then is caught red-handed. Stories like how to interpret the present time when a storm is coming or a controversy is coming. Stories like being dragged into court and you better use your time on the way to settle your differences with your accuser or you might be dragged off to jail. It is wave upon wave, layer upon layer of Jesus saying, there is no time like the present. Figure out what's important. Time is short. And in the midst of this building urgency, people come to Jesus in our passage today. People come to Jesus and share with him a current event story to get his reaction. They said, did you hear about the Galileans, those hometown boys that the Roman ruler Pilate killed when they were offering sacrifices? Did you hear, Jesus? Now, we don't know about this story. We don't know what the story is. There's no specific record of it anywhere else. But we do have a record of Pilate's cruelty and brutality and the bloodshed as he tried to enforce Roman control over the occupied people of Israel. For Galileans to have been killed while sacrificing meant that they would have been in Jerusalem at the temple where the official sacrifices take place. We don't know if the Galileans were innocent worshipers or if Rome suspected they were zealots, because zealots, that movement had been born in Galilee and it advocated armed overthrow of Rome. Whatever the story, innocent or zealot, the people came to Jesus wanting to see Jesus' reaction. It's like asking a well-known personality or politician about the latest news story. Did you hear, Jesus? Did you hear? And the reaction the people probably wanted was outrage at Rome for their brutality, or maybe some sort of comment on the zealot movement and their methodology. They wanted Jesus to react with passion to the story that they brought them. But instead of commenting on Rome or the zealots, Jesus says, stop looking at what others are doing, judging whether they are right or wrong, whether they are worse than you or worse than anyone else. Instead, take time to look at yourself, because death comes to all and there is no time like the present. Repent, which, as Steve shared with the children, means to turn around, walk in the opposite direction that you've been going, turn towards God. And then Jesus turns to another current event story. This time, the Tower of Siloam, the tower near the Pool of Siloam on the southern edge of Jerusalem. The tower fell and killed 18 people. And again, we don't know the story. Was it a failure of engineering? Was it a natural disaster? An act of nature? One interesting theory is that Pilate at the time was building a new aqueduct system to bring fresh water to Jerusalem, and the tower may be a part of the aqueduct system. So this is a comment or contrast between the zealots being killed at the temple and the workers who were building the tower for Pilate being killed by the tower. Or is it simply another example of the fragileness of life? Either way, Jesus' response to this story is, don't judge out there. Look inward. Deal with yourself first. To use the words of another parable of Jesus, don't look for the speck in your neighbor's eyes until you've looked at the log in your own. There's no time like the present to turn to God. Now, the current event stories of Jesus' time in this passage may be unknown to us. The story of the Galileans in the temple, the story of the tower that falls. But they mirror so closely our current events. The events of our days with shootings at mosques and synagogues and churches, stories about cyclone blast and flood damage and highway accidents. We know these stories. We live these stories. And the centuries may change, but the stories really don't. Acts of people, acts of nature. Time is never something to take for granted. I remember clearly the text message from my former colleague down in Jacksonville, Florida. My former colleague texted me, and the words were simply, "Have you heard about Laura?" Now, when I served in Jacksonville, Florida, Laura was an elementary school, then a tween, a young girl full of life and energy and vibrancy. She bounced all over that church. She would jump on every mission trip her dad was going on and came with us. And at the time of the text message from my colleague, Laura was a 20-year-old college student at the University of Florida. She was driving to church that morning and was hit head-on by a car and died instantly. And the message was a gut punch, and it made you want to gather every single family member and loved one and friend, hold them close, not let them go. So Jesus says to these people who are bringing up all these stories, look around you, whatever the story, life is fragile, life is precious. You can't protect yourself from every danger, from acts of people or accidents. You are no better or worse than anyone else, but don't waste this precious time, this precious life. There's no time like the present. Turn towards God. And yet just when we're getting up in this urgency, this fragileness that Jesus is building layer upon layer, he makes a veer in the road. He just veers to this parable of a fig tree. And it seems like a non sequitur. It seems like it doesn't relate until you realize it's actually the heart of his message. The fig tree, the vineyard, these were rich Old Testament imageries for the people of Jesus' time. For the Jews in the book of Isaiah and Micah, who identified the vineyard with the people of Israel and God as the gardener. Images for people for whom having your own vine and your own fig tree meant fulfillment, a full, abundant life and peace. So Jesus speaks about a fig tree planted in a vineyard. And when I was living in Israel, Palestine, I learned the custom that when a baby was born, you planted an olive tree and a fig tree so that by the time they were teenagers, they had plants and fruits to support themselves and to care for. Because it takes a long time for a tree to become fruitful. Biblical scholar and Middle East specialist Dr. Kenneth Bailey talks a bit more about this fig tree. He said the process was that the first 3 years you didn't touch the tree, you let it grow. The next 3 years, the book of Leviticus says, hands off, it's forbidden to eat it. But then in the seventh year, then you could start eating the figs. So in Jesus' story, the owner of the vineyard comes for 3 years. The seventh year, the eighth year, the ninth year, and the fig tree, looking for fruit. So that means the owner has come after 9 years to this vineyard, to this garden, and looks at a fig tree still after 9 years not bearing fruit. And for the sake of the whole vineyard, the owner says, cut it down. But the gardener says, give it one more year. The gardener who had planted it, watered it, cared for it daily says, let me have a little bit more time to give it daily care, put some manure, some compost on it. Let's just see what's going to happen. Let me nurture it a little bit more. Maybe it will bear fruit. There's no present, no gift like this time. Give it one more year. When I was living in the Middle East, I knew a young couple who just had a baby, and they went out to plant their fig tree, their olive tree, their little orchard in front of their house. It was on dry, dry, rocky soil, and every single day they were putting little bits of water on it. They were caring for it, this tiny little sapling, knowing it would be years and years and years before it would ever give them fruit, but they cared for it every single day. The patience, the hope, the caring of the gardeners, envisioning living into the future, seeing the potential in every plant, every tree. That's the vision of God in this parable, God the gardener, who's giving one more chance to that fig tree, one more gift of time, the overwhelming mercy of God against all reason, all practicality, allowing hope to win out that the tree will bear fruit after so many years. But there is still that final line that it is only for one more year, Jesus said. Jesus said earlier he had come to preach good news to the poor, release to the captives, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the year of the Lord's favor, 1 year. Only one more year. Time is urgent, Jesus said. And God is gracious and wishes full life for all in the garden. This is not about hell and brimstone, about a God out to get you. This is about a God who is extravagantly merciful and gracious and daily caring for the garden. But in the end, time eventually ends for all. And life is fragile, whether from current events or acts of nature. So don't waste it. There's no time like the present, and there is no present, no gift like time. I'm preaching to myself right now. I want to let you know that. In our modern society, where we are bombarded with responsibilities and appointments and work and family, finding time is indeed a very precious gift. Sometimes it takes being sick or an unexpected event to make us realize how precious it is. And this season of Lent, this time of Lent, is a time to examine and take stock of our lives, see what needs to be cultivated, see what needs some manure or compost to spread around our roots. If you only had one more year, one more week, one more day, where would you expend and spend your energy and your passion? This one precious gift of life. The good news is God, the gardener, has hope for us fig trees. God, the gardener, has hope for our fig trees, but let us not delay, because there still is no time like the present, and there is no present or gift like time. During this season of Lent, we've been doing Visio Divina, looking at an image, seeing where it speaks to us of God, how God might be able to reach us through art or nature or pictures. And the picture on the front of the bulletin is a fig tree from Brooklyn, New York. I'd ask that you find it, and once you find it, to go ahead and close your eyes and take several deep breaths. I invite you to turn to that picture now and open your eyes. And what is the first thing you notice? And stay with that. Focus on that part of the picture and ask, why was I drawn to that part of the picture? I invite you to close your eyes and take several deep breaths in and out. When you open your eyes, gaze at the entire picture this time. What else do you notice? Where do you see signs of life or hope? What do you want to say to God? Take several deep breaths in and out.